shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is the dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. After sermon, we will sing Psalter 318, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Let us read again our sermon text today in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. We will look at the first three verses at this time. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man. We live in a world full of advertisements, day after day, moment after moment. In our days, people are commercially driven to buy and to sell products. Those who make advertisements try to make their products look as attractive as possible, as beneficial as possible. And they wouldn't mention anything negative about their products. That's the strategy that they use every day. They will enlarge the benefits hugely so that people may miss those negative things inherent in those products they intend to sell. People are very much aware of the importance of the advertisements for their products. People will often determine just by way of the advertisements whether to buy or not that they are looking at. Today, we see a picture in our scriptures. It is a remarkable picture that describes the Jehovah's servant. But in this prophecy, we have something very strange. You would expect to hear of the servant's beauty, and you would expect to hear that everybody is rushing to this servant to love him and believe him. But that's not what we find in our scripture. Based on sermon text, Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 3, our theme this morning is unbelief's responses to Jehovah's servant. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider 3 points with the Lord's help under this theme. First, a response to his message as a prophet. Second, a response to his appearance as a man. Third, a response to his suffering as Messiah. First, verse 1 starts with an important question. Who have believed our report? It seems that the prophet with other fellow Israelites must have heard something. What did they hear? First of all, the book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel because this book shows the beauty and glory of Christ for sinners. God invites sinners through the prophecy of Isaiah in the first chapter, saying, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1:18. The first 39 chapters of this book is aiming to warn Israel people of the coming judgment through Assyrians. The second section of the book starts from chapter 40 and aims to comfort God's people in exile. God's promise for the salvation of Israel, even in exile, must be a great comfort. More specifically, what the Israelites heard could be related to passages directly pointing to the coming Christ in four servant songs. There is not only one servant song, but there are four different servant songs in this book alone. Those servant songs are found in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 9, 49, verses 1 to 6, 50, verses 4 to 9, and 52, verses 13 to 53, verse 12. Our text today comes in the last servant song. The last servant song starts right after God revealed his salvation plan. Isaiah 52 verse 12 reads that, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward." The salvation is described in this context, and the Jehovah's servant in the context of salvation is in right focus. How is this salvation possible? It is possible through the servant of Jehovah. Everything had to fail. Even in the redemptive history of Israelites. But with this servant, salvation is possible. Isaiah 52 verse 13 says, "He is to be exalted very high." Then the next verse says, "His appearance will be so much disfigured that people would not think that he was a human being." Then again verse 15 says that this servant will astonish many nations and kings throughout the world. What a glorious salvation through God's servant. The exalted servant had to become very low to save sinners. His visage had to be disfigured. However, for the most part, the servant in the Old Testament is not believed. The question, who hath believed our report? This is a rhetorical question. When you know the answer already, you raise this question without really expecting an answer in return. This question shows that already in the days of the Old Testament, so many people did not believe about this prophecy of the coming Savior, the servant of Jehovah. The word that our Bible translates as our report could be better understood in the original language, and it can be better translated as what we just heard. Our report can be translated as what we have just heard. Dear congregation, who has believed what we just have heard? Even the gospel reached you. You have heard it? No, you have heard many, many times already. But do you believe what you just heard? Maybe you think, saying, I can't believe this. I don't know how to believe. Well, look at what the text says next. The second half of the verse 1 says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In the same verse, the arm of the Lord is mentioned. That means we need the arm of the Lord to believe firsthand. You cannot do this yourselves without the work of the Holy Spirit. The power of God that works in you so that you can lay down your own beliefs about other things, and you can finally trust in this Savior. The arm of the Lord refers to the strength of God. Like your arm is referring to your strength physically, God has the power to make you believe. Ask God to give His Holy Spirit to enable you to believe what you have just heard. It is so tragic. God's servant was not believed. This is the first response the unbelief shows about Jehovah's servant. Any unbelief carried by the hearts of man and woman will not acknowledge this message of the prophet. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you remember how you became a believer for the first time? Do you remember how the Lord worked in your hearts that you realized that what we see before our eyes did not just happen, but it was from the Lord, the creator of the heaven and earth? Do you remember that moment or those days? Did not you think that you are not that bad person? Did not you doubt the idea that you must be dependent on God, sent servant? Did not you be casting your dice upon the idea that the sand is bringing the condemnation forever at the end of the day? But what happened? Those questions were with you. But now you became believers. This is the work of God in you. Romans 10:16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel after they heard it. Therefore, faith is the work of God's powerful arm, even today. Not just hearing, but the work of God. God gave us not only hearing, but also sight for our understanding. This leads to our second point, a response to his appearance as a man. Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This very verse is very graphical description in terms of the outer appearance. It is not only people today who are concerned with the outer appearance. So were the ancient Israelites. Externally, this servant was not attractive. There was not anything that you wanted to look at according to human standard. First, the servant is described as a tender plant or shoot. Children, a tender plant does not have many green leaves. It does not have a strong trunk. You would not expect birds coming there. You would not expect to have fruits out of this plant. This is a plant without much worth outwardly. Second, the servant is described as a root out of a dry ground. Have you ever seen a plant growing in a dry ground? The water is lacking and the ground is cracking and plant is striving to grow out of this very poor soil. It is not lively at all. It is not very attractive to our vision. It does not draw people's attention at all. Third, in the second half of the verse 2, there are three negatives given to describe what is not present in the servant. No form, no comeliness, no beauty. Nothing worth looking at in this servant. Nothing. Have you admired this servant who is described here as having no form, no comeliness, no beauty? Or is this what you think of Jesus Christ today? Do you see any beauty in him? You have heard a lot about him, but there is nothing that appeals to you about his appearance. This is unbelief's response to his appearance as a man. The servant described here is already not believed and not admired. So far, the description seems to be at least neutral and objective based on its description and its appearance. This leads to the last thing, that is a response to his suffering as Messiah. Based on hearing and seeing, the servant was greatly humiliated. The salvation by this servant does not sound right to the unbelief eyes and ears. To it, he certainly does not look like an attractive servant to bring salvation. We make a judgment about all the advertisements that we look at on a daily basis, or every moment, rather. We hear about it and we see them. Many of them are not needed and we just discard them as trash the moment we look at them. If you find them in your mailbox or in your electronic mailbox, it will take just a moment sometimes to sort them out as garbages. Verse 3 says that he is despised and rejected of men. It is one thing to discard unnecessary items such as broken glasses or unusable papers. It is another thing to abandon people in great need, such as sick people or people in dangerous situations. More than a couple of years ago in Canada, Prince Edward Island, a newborn baby was found dead at a bench next to the church graveyard. It is hard to know how long the baby was left wrapped in a blanket in this place. But somebody must have abandoned this baby at some point. There are so many sad situations regarding rejection and despising of people, including this abandoned baby at the graveyard with no information about the baby's parents. The servant also knows the sorrows, the sufferings. So he is called a man of sorrows. But here we are told that because he knows such sorrows and sufferings, people despised him and discredited him. While God offers salvation through his servant, the Israelites discredited him and despised him. He certainly knew the sorrows and the diseases that we human beings suffer from. But because of that, people ignored him. Have you ever felt abandoned and despised? Maybe many times. Your failures, your sicknesses, your needy situations could have made you feel like that. Who never felt that? Did they really make you rejected because of them? This servant did not just feel that. He was indeed rejected and he was despised. What do these descriptions of our unbelief mean to us? What are we missing today? He is not believed. He is not admired. He is not accepted. The doubtful descriptions about this servant have not changed in our days after so many years. First, Jehovah's servant, Jesus Christ for sinners, are despised by many people. But you and I are called to embrace this servant, the Savior for sinners. We can be despised based on our weaknesses, our own failures, our illnesses. Being despised is a real threat to our being, not just a psychological perception. Do we not want to be accepted by the people? We want the trust from the people, don't we? Wherever you may go, you want people's trust. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in a dirty stable in Bethlehem. He was negatively associated with his poor town, Nazareth. Maybe in our days, the downtown of New Jersey, Patterson, or a place associated with much crimes or something like that. He was looked down on as an ignorant carpenter. He was despised by Pharisees and other religious leaders because of his friendship with sinners. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Judas betrayed him and sold him in return for money. 30 pieces of silver. Others abandoned him. When he was crucified upon the cross, people despised him, saying, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." Mark 14:30. Others ridiculed his kingship, saying, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Mark 14:31b. Jesus Christ was abandoned by his own followers and separated from the very presence of God in the cross of Calvary. Christ cried on the cross to the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Though David was speaking about his own situation in Psalm 22, he was speaking as a shadow and type of Jesus Christ. He says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of people. Prophet Isaiah joins himself to this group of despisers in Israel so many years ago, saying, he was despised and we esteemed him not. What about you? Will you join this group? So many people who already despised this Savior. Will you turn your face from his church, his people, and especially his messengers of the gospel? He is a sinless Savior, and because of sinners he suffered. He was despised that we may not be despised. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm sure that you cannot find such a precious servant of God as Jesus anywhere else. Nobody can do what he could do for your own soul. Find out this person at all cost and spend everything that you have to know this living Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, spend everything to have him as your own Savior. He is matchless, unparalleled, priceless Savior of your soul. Who has not treasured this servant of Jehovah? Yes, secondly, Jehovah's servant Jesus Christ for sinners are unattractive to unconverted sinners' eyes. But that is because they are completely blind to his beauty. There is incredible beauty in him. Some time ago, I was introduced to a great, huge art piece in Grand Rapids. This art piece is a 13 feet long in length and 9 feet wide, and what a huge one. It is a glass mosaic of crucified Savior that weighed more than 400 pounds, and it won the local art prize in the competition, and the prize money was as much as $250,000. But the person who made it completely missed the beauty of Jesus Christ, let alone it was against the second commandment, because this artist did not believe in Jesus Christ. I was told that this person just did it not for her faith. Have you seen this beauty of Christ by faith, not by sight? You and I are called to praise His servant for His indescribable beauty for sinners. Christ kept all the commandments of God perfectly while He was walking on here on earth. He has done splendid and majestic work for sinners such as we are. And on the last breath of our Savior on the cross, He said, "It is finished." Meaning, no sinner has to add anything more to be saved. Jesus Christ sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high when He had by Himself purged our sins, being made much better than the angels, as He hath obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than they. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How excellent, how beautiful is this name to sinners! The perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Jesus Christ are applied unto us when we receive Him by faith. This beautiful and perfect, spotless righteousness is available in Christ and Him alone. No other place, no other person will give you that righteousness. No matter how much you work hard in this life, you will be never able to purchase this righteous garment with your money, with your hands. It's only given by faith from Jesus Christ, who has not admired this servant through the eyes of faith. When you know that you can only find filthy rags with your own hands. Lastly, this servant is not believed in spite of such a great prophecy in this chapter. Already 740 BC, the prophecy of the servant of Jehovah was given. And since then, how many people heard about Him? The coming Messiah. And they did not believe. But you and I must believe in Him, the Savior for sinners, Jesus Christ. Your future and my future without Jesus Christ is hopeless. There is no way to satisfy God's coming wrath in this life and the life to come because of our sins. Every sin is serious enough to put us in the eternal condemnation. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3:10b. God will not suffer our disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished. God's justice will demand the full price and full punishment against our sins, and God is greatly displeased our sins. The psalmist says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they, all they that put their trust in him." Psalm 2:12. Who has not believed in this servant and his message as a prophet? My dear friends, this morning, I am not asking you to pretend to believe in Jesus Christ after you heard this sermon. That would not work. True faith, according to Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 21, is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us, but also an assured confidence which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart, that not only to others but to me also remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits. As you heard this morning, Jehovah's servant is not believed. That's the most natural response that we can show without the Holy Spirit's work in you, in your heart. So don't pretend that you believe in Jesus Christ. Rather, honestly, as we heard about these people already in BC 740, admit your unbelief and see the beauty and glory of this Savior. Compare how much you could get with your own work at the end of your life and what Jesus Christ has already achieved for you, sinners. And believe in Jesus Christ. I know some of you are struggling. The word is not in favor of your faith or your years of attending church or school and you heard it, still you may have this struggle in your heart. The Holy Spirit has to work in your heart that you may hear what you hear and you may truly believe what you heard. And that would be one of the most exciting moments in your life when you first believed in this Savior, when you couldn't believe. There was time when you couldn't believe clearly, but now you could see all the beauty of Jesus Christ. Now He's the most precious person in your eyes, and now you see Him in His beauty and glory. What a contrast before and after. What an exciting moment of your life. I pray that the Lord may work this true faith in your heart after hearing the gospel. About this Savior, it is also mentioned that in the gospel, in the same book, Isaiah, a bruised reed shall He not break, and smoking flax shall He not quench. Our Savior is merciful and gracious in hearing your feeble prayers if you desire to see Him even today. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come as needy beggars. We seek the true faith in Thy Son Jesus Christ. Thou hast done most amazing thing already in the cross of the Calvary, that sinners everywhere may truly hear, see, and receive this most beautiful and blessed Savior. We pray, Lord, for our children here and those who have not yet come to faith in their age, in their growing. Please help them. Use all those teachings, catechisms, and Sunday school teachings and sermons so that their eyes may be open and they may see the wondrous things out of Thy law. We pray for those who are traveling at this time. And please be with each family. And we especially pray for our pastor's family, Reverend Serafini and his family in Brazil. Please bring them safely home in these coming days. And bless, O Lord, their time in these days with their families in Brazil. And give them much strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.